Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No,
hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell, and I'm joined today, ladies and gents, not by Just Dave, but by Randy Andy Datsun.
Again. They brought me back for some unknown reason.
It's insane. You did so well last week while I was gone that we brought you back again this week.
Did you hear Ollie on yesterday's podcast? He was very, very kind. He sort of compared me to...
On the AEW one?
No, the Friday podcast.
Oh, the Friday one, yeah.
He compared me to his son and said he felt like a father figure and said that there was points last week where he was not really thinking about SmackDown, but more about how much I've grown. Which was very kind. I had a small smile to myself on the bus home yesterday. So that
a
was very,
small smile?
A small smile. You can't just sit there smiling widely
totally
on a bus.
You'll look like a psycho, but you could.
Yeah, I suppose the bus is the place to do it because there are a lot of strange people on the bus.
That's true.
I was heading home on the bus a couple of weeks ago and this lady got on who was, should we say, not slim. And she was wearing a skirt which did not cover her rear at all.
Right.
And there was a point where everyone on the bus, she was sort of standing at the bus driver, and everyone on the bus kind of looked at it, did this kind of, oh my God.
Oh.
There's this old couple sitting directly to my left, and I was just giggling with them for about 5 minutes until I got off the bus, but it was just, it was one of those things that just draws your eye, no matter, you don't want to look at it at all.
Yeah.
Just sort of, whoa. That's horrible. Anyway,
let's get into nicer stuff. I'm going to read out an email here from Austin. So me and Dave were discussing that when Lacey Evans turned face, it was she said something to Sasha and Bailey being like, oh, you couldn't be responsible for the chicken dance or whatever. And me and Dave were like, chicken dance? What are you talking about? So we got an email from Austin to clear it up.
Oh, thank you, Austin.
Said, hey, Pete and Dave. Close enough. The chicken dance is just a goofy kid song that has a dance with it. It's a popular thing for little kids here in Kentucky. I think it's a southern thing in America. Makes sense, since she's southern. Thanks for the entertainment, Austin.
See, I know what the chicken dance is, but I wouldn't have thought that that's what she was bringing up.
Yeah. Is that a Thanksgiving? Do they do the chicken dance at Thanksgiving?
I am British. Therefore, I don't know what they do at Thanksgiving other than say thank you and eat the same meal that they have at Christmas. It is Christmas 1. Christmas 2 is in 11 days.
Oh, mate, 11 days. Jesus, I really need to do my shopping.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I need to get a Secret Santa present for the person that
the
I've
person.
Got.
I got mine. I've had mine for several weeks now. I had to do quite a lot of research because...
See, it's funny. I'm pretty sure I know who you've got.
Well, yeah, I think it's pretty obvious the fact that I had to do quite a lot of research. Given that I've met him once.
I wonder who it could be.
It's Ollie. Actually, last Saturday was the first time I met Ollie. So he's a really nice guy.
We've got another email here from Matthew Perry. Not that one. Who says, hi, Pete. This is more an email for Dave, but it says, one of his like big gripes is that when Randy Orton makes his entrance on the Titantron, it just says, in my veins.
Mm.
And that's not a catchphrase of his. That's not part of his gimmick. It just says, in my veins. And we're like, what's in your veins, Randy? Like, blood? It's not, you don't hear voices in your veins. They're in your head.
Is there any lyrics in that song?
No, lyrics in that song talk about being in his veins, which is like, so it's like a big like pet peeve for Dave is saying, in my veins, why are you there? Got an email from Matthew Perry saying, hi, Pete. I've heard you guys mention how you don't understand why Randy Orton has in my veins on his Titantron. I'd like to offer some insight on the subject. Randy has had several merchandise pieces with the line Venom in my veins marketed on. Obviously a play on the Viper aspect of his character. Granted, this merchandise dates back to 2015, so it appears that they have just kept the end part of the line as a callback. Attached are some photos of the merchandise. And he's got some pictures where it says Venom in my veins.
See, I was going to say this because I know that Vipers are venomous.
Totally. And like, that's the thing. If the Titantron said Venom in my veins, totally fine.
Yeah, and
in my veins.
On commentary kind of going, oh, the Viper strikes.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Or if, I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense unless you enjoy reptilian creatures.
when do Titantrons ever make sense? And they are, as we've seen on SmackDown, they are making them worse every week with the
they
AR.
Are. They're not great, are they?
But we will not talk about SmackDown here.
It's so
that's
dated.
For later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that on the actual main show. We'll do one more email, then we'll get into the main show. Let's see. Oh, that one's not very good for the podcast. I'll save that one.
By the way, it's nice to see that you are smelling less pungent than you were yesterday during the the filming of your punishment video. I had to, at one point, as you'll see, I have to...
Don't give away all the secrets, Andy.
I have to catch Pete at one point.
Yeah.
And my hand dived immediately into the puddle that was his armpit. And I went to wash my hand immediately. It was pretty foul.
I was sweaty. It's a hot studio with a lot of people.
You're a sweaty man in general.
I'm a sweaty man. So, yeah.
Not as sweaty as Ollie. I think you're probably second in the office sweat stakes.
I'm trying to find a good email here, but I don't know. See, this one I can't even read because it's literally got a bit that I literally can't read.
Yeah,
where it's got words over words, which I guess I could read. Let's see. Okay, tell you what, I'll just read it out. Let's see what it's about. We'll go on this journey together.
We'll figure it out.
This one comes in from Luke Chador. Hello to insert everybody, because there's so many gosh darn on-screen presences, even WrestleTalk GM Grado. That's a throwback. As how Luke dubbed me, WrestleTalk's resident fairy. I've got an quaint artwork... quaint? Yep, quaint artwork commissioned by an internet buddy using my fursona heart. Yes, named after Brett.
Is the man who knew about the furry community.
Yeah, he's WrestleTalk's resident fairy. So he's saying in the image... I assume it's, but like, this is where the words kind of just merge on my email for whatever reason. It's a real sketch and pencil, and I took the time to digitize it, so here it is. I've been a subscriber around February to March time in 2017. When Austin Aries attacked Neville, yeah. But seriously, I love how open-minded and accepting you are of the furry community, though we are a bit weird at times. Thank you, lads, so much. I genuinely admire your acceptance. The Luchafur, Luke Chador. And he said, P.S. I'll be emailing in D&D Ring of... He says Gregorian, but it's Grammarian. Mm. I don't play, so don't hate me for bad spelling spells soon. Thank you. And attached is a nice little drawing that they've got of a little support WrestleTalk sign on.
No,
it.
And it's got our fursona. It's in our colours as well.
Which is great, yeah. The red, white, and blue.
No, absolutely. You have to be accepting of these things. My friend has just started as a PA for an online model, should we say, who doesn't wear a lot of clothes a lot of the time.
Cool.
And yeah, she sort of talks about her job a lot, and you just realise that everyone's different.
Yeah.
And you've got to accept it.
Yeah.
So,
totally.
Yeah,
I mean, do whatever you want to do, as long as you ain't hurting anyone.
Yeah.
What does it matter?
Absolutely.
Yeah. on that note,
speaking of hurting people,
that's a great segue, mate. Let's get into the main portion of the show, where we're going to be talking about, is Bray Wyatt versus The Miz the best feud he's had since coming back as The Fiend? Here's the show. Let's get into talking about Bray Wyatt and The Miz, because their match at TLC tomorrow is a non-title match.
Non-title.
And it's Bray Wyatt versus The Miz. Not The Fiend. It's actually Bray Wyatt.
First Bray Wyatt appearance as Bray Wyatt in a ring.
In a ring. I know. Crazy. So, the build to it on this show, I thought was fantastic, because there was an interview with The Miz at his home. So, last week on SmackDown, there was obviously the terror that Bray Wyatt brought when he had the picture of Miz's family and he'd superimposed himself on it.
In that red room that Miz should just never have entered.
I know, yeah. But then this week, Miz was at home trying to protect his family a bit more, which was a nice touch. Renee Young went out to his house and did an interview. And I think the craziest thing about this interview was that there was actually three cameras.
There were three cameras.
And they live cut between three shots. I don't know. I don't know where they got that idea from.
They've been watching. We'll let you in, WWE.
They've been watching us. Anyway, it was a really nice interview because, one, Renee Young is really bloody good at interviewing, especially in this kind of style. And Miz is really, really good. He felt so genuine with this.
Along with sort of Daniel Bryan, he has turned into one of WWE's best just kind of actors. Mm. He may not be the best wrestler. He'll never be the best wrestler they've got. But he is one of the best actors by a long way. He can make me actually sort of believe what he's saying. Mm-hmm. I know the man he is facing is a fiend, is a demon.
But he makes us feel real, damn it.
It makes me actually think, wow, his family is in danger. Mm-hmm. That baby is in peril.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of,
so Renee was asking him various questions, and she wasn't asking dumb WWE questions either.
Nope.
It was like, how come you've been getting so involved with Daniel Bryan again? And that she said, you know, I was there for that Talking Smack segment where it all went, you know, crazy, and you guys got so heated and all that stuff. So it was really nice for her to be there. It was a nice touch for character development, but also for Miz was talking about his family. You mentioned on the first time we tried to stream that, you know, he started to get like choked up when he was talking about his family,
which was
great. And he says that he can't get that image out of his head of his family and Bray Wyatt there on it. And then, just as Renee's asked him another question, you can hear Maryse way off camera just starts yelling out, "Mike!" Like really like scared. So he just sprints out from the interview, goes straight up to her. And we have mixed feelings on this next bit, but they have a tablet, an unbranded tablet, which has got like a baby monitor feed on it of their daughter, Monroe. And you can see her playing around with her dolls. And then it just cuts in and it's Bray Wyatt on the Firefly Funhouse set. And he's laughing. And then it cuts to very serious Bray Wyatt. And he says, "Let me in." And it cuts back to Monroe. But this time, now she's surrounded with an Abby the Witch and a Huskus the Pig and a Mercy the Buzzard. Wow.
If you can find me a baby monitor camera that is that good quality, I just think it could have been better with those most classic,
just the sound ones,
simple audio.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm really nitpicking here because I thought whole segment was great, but I felt like if it just had audio and something going yowie wowie or let me in.
Yeah.
Or something like that, or just even just his laugh.
Yeah, his laugh would be great.
Or him singing like a really creepy lullaby. Something like that, because it's a baby.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they see this happen, and then it's like a clip of Bray Wyatt saying, "Let me in," and it's all looking very scary. So they'll run upstairs to try and see what's going on.
Yeah, but interestingly, when they get to the door, there's the red light coming from inside the room that we saw on the room from last week as well. And then Miz is there. He doesn't go in. Maryse joins him because she was running up the stairs behind him. And then he goes, "Yeah, in you go."
Yeah.
And he gets Maryse to go in first, which is just like...
So as much as he says he's not scared, there's a little bit in him which is kind of like...
No, I really don't want to go in this room.
Because I hope he won't punch you.
Yeah.
So, or give you a Sister Abigail.
But then
you go in.
It really makes him look I don't want to say heelish, but almost like cowardly, because it's like his daughter's in there.
Yeah.
He needs to go, and he keeps saying that he's like the protector of his family, and you know, he's at home this week to protect his family. And then when it comes to actually protecting his family, he goes, Maurice, go first.
She's a former Divas champion.
She is a former Divas champion.
So, actually.
But yeah, so they enter the room, they pick up Monroe. Wouldn't you have thought, out of the four people that were in this segment, of Renee Young, Miz, Maurice, Monroe.
Yeah.
Monroe is the best actor.
She was fantastic.
She was amazing.
She had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
She was thinking, what are mummy and daddy doing? And why have I got a new weird toy that I don't want to have in my crib, I guess they call it, cot here.
Cot, yeah.
And she was, like, looking terrified.
She was terrified.
Crying, she was whining. And it was so perfect because she wasn't like hysterical.
No,
was crying enough so that every now and then Miz could just go, it's okay, don't worry.
Exactly.
We're here, don't worry about it. And it was just, it all sort of flowed together perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So well done, Monroe, and I can't wait for your debut in 16 years because that was fantastic.
She was really, really good. And they rush into the cot, and she, as Maurice kind of picks her up, they're all just kind of comforting her, and she just points at the cot.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did she know to do that? And Miz just kind of turns around and grabs up the doll.
Yeah.
It's a really, really creepy doll with blonde hair with the fiend mask painted on it. Super duper creepy.
Yeah.
And then he's like, where did you get this? And she's just like, and just starts like crying and squirming and stuff. It was like, oh, this is so great.
Walmart.
Yeah, exactly. Walmart.
Yeah.
But then... Yeah, and then Miz and Maurice get really serious. They're like, right, camera crew, out. Yep. We're done. Get out.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is perfect. It sells the situation so perfectly.
Real.
Yeah, it feels like real.
If someone was breaking into my house and someone was trying to film a documentary or an interview with me,
yeah,
that's probably how I would react, because I would feel threatened.
If we were filming a stupid skit for WrestleTalk,
yes,
and we happened to be at your place, and we found out that someone had broken in and gave your daughter a creepy doll, I'm sure you'd be like, right, everyone out. Right now.
Strange way to reveal that I've got a daughter. I don't.
So yeah, that segment just ends with the camera crew just leaving, and I thought that was a perfect way to end it. And then it gets capped off with its own Firefly Funhouse segment back at the arena. It comes back and the commentators say... things. I wasn't really listening.
Yeah, yeah.
Cuts in with the Firefly Funhouse music, and then the creepy doll that we just saw at Miz's house is there on the Firefly Funhouse.
Transported, apparated.
Yeah. In fairness, the interview did say it was earlier today, so
yes,
there's
exactly.
probably time there, but still. Bray Wyatt comes in, he goes, oh, I was just trying to be nice. Aww, etc., the kids say. And he says, he says that Daniel Bryan is still with him.
Ooh.
He's still with The Fiend, which is why Bray Wyatt is having this match with The Miz, because he's
busy
with Daniel Bryan. Exactly. It's great. And he says, I really like this touch as well. He says he's trained himself to not feel pain.
Which
he says it's just a chemical reaction.
That's something that's kind of played into these matches, because like, even though he's been like hit with a chair, hit with a ladder, hit with everything under the ring, there's never been a bit where he's kind of going... Oh, he's never selling. He just kind of falls.
He's just down.
He just falls over. And then even when he like got that horrible rest stoppage at Hell in a Cell, he just got up afterwards anyway. So you can really buy into that whole I don't feel pain gimmick that he's got.
Yeah.
And he's sort of telling The Miz to do the same. So he's sort of inviting The Miz into his kind of creepy world.
Yeah. And he says, I can teach you how to not feel love as well. Which is great when the whole feud is kind of surrounding Miz's family. Great stuff.
But all you have to do
is let me in.
Let him in. But also, the Marine 5 is fire.
It's fire. Best in the series.
Yeah.
Great quote.
I'm sure it is. I've never seen it.
So I thought that was fantastic. And I'd say, back to the actual title of the stream itself, I think in 2 weeks, this has been the best build to a Bray Wyatt / Fiend match since he's come back with the Fiend gimmick.
Yeah, because you've had Finn Balor, which kind of was... It was just a way of introducing The Fiend. And
exactly.
It was really effective.
And it was great.
Absolutely.
But the build itself wasn't great.
It wasn't, it wasn't actually
a proper build.
A feud.
Yeah, exactly.
Seth Rollins, as we know, was horrible.
It was terrible.
And I want to forget it.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan, I think, still has the kind of potential to be better than this.
Totally. Yeah.
But they've done, Bryan and Bray have worked together brilliantly to kind of elongate their feud, which will probably culminate, hopefully, at Royal Rumble. I hope they don't extend it further.
Yeah.
But as of now, I'm really into this dude. I mean, Miz is going to lose. And you can't have Miz win with a skull-crushing finale.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, though, with this, I think with the build they had for Daniel Bryan and The Fiend was great. Really, really liked it. But I felt like a lot of it was kind of insinuated. Because a lot of it was like, you used to be in the Wyatt family. We have this history together. Therefore, we must have this match.
Yes.
Whereas this one, I think, is a lot more overt. It's like, I'm messing with your family.
Yeah.
And you have to respond to that. It's a lot more like, the build is happening now rather than the build happened a few years ago and we're playing off that. Which is still an effective build, don't get me wrong. But I think this one is just a lot more effective in the current day.
And it's got the... What's going for it is that we've seen The Fiend wrestle a few times now, but we've never seen this new Bray Wyatt wrestle.
Yeah.
And so it's got the intrigue, and it's something that I really want to see. I want to see if the way he wrestles is different. I want to see if the way he kind of carries himself. I want to see if his entrance is different. Is he just going to come down straight to 5-5 Funhouse?
Funhouse music, yeah, totally.
Cheering and stuff. There's not going to be any of that.
Mm.
So I think it's been really interesting. I mean, I think he's going to have the same finisher and things like that. I don't think that's going to be any different. But it's almost more creepy the way he's doing it now because he's now kind of mortal, should we say.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. And I think another interesting thing that they're playing off is that The Fiend changes people. So same, you know, with Balor, he turned heel. And with Rollins, he's turned heel. And with Bryan, we think he's probably going to change. He's probably going to have a haircut, at least, by the time he comes back. But I don't know whether Miz will change because he's facing Bray Wyatt. He's not facing The Fiend.
No, exactly.
So I think that's a nice way to still build the character but not have Miz change much about himself, if that makes sense.
And I hope they don't. Either Bryan will return on Sunday or tomorrow night, or he'll return
The SmackDown after.
Either way, I think both work.
Yeah.
I think better on Friday just because you can kind of have The Fiend go sort of do his 5-5 Funhouse and then sort of talk about how he destroyed The Miz and like got into his family, all that sort of stuff, and how The Miz had to forced to let him in. And then you can have Bryan return. I think if you bring Bryan back too early, then you've still got like sort of 6-7 weeks to build. And it's the sort of the Christmas period where no one's really watching.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm really looking forward to it. And I think it'd be a great match. And if you're looking forward to it, join Ollie and Luke tomorrow night for their live streams of the show.
Yeah, watching TLC live.
Lovely time with the boys and probably eating some food far too close to the microphone.
Exactly, yes. They'll be doing live reactions tomorrow night, and Laurie and I will be doing a full WrestleTalk live review on the Monday as well.
And WrestleTalk.com.
And WrestleTalk.com.
We'll be covering it live.
Assuming live tweeting as well.
Live tweeting, live coverage. So, join us for that full coverage.
Yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
But first, we're just going to run through some Patreon shout-outs. So if you haven't become a Pledge Hammer on Patreon yet, why not? You should go to patreon.com/WrestleTalk and get a whole bunch of bonus content depending on what tier you pledge at. You can get access to Wrestle League, our Predictions League. You can get extra bonus podcasts of retro reviews with Ollie and Luke. You can get access to our drunk podcast called Wrestle Talk After Dark, which is where we get very drunk and sweary and talk about stuff. It's cool. Plus a whole bunch of other stuff. And if you pledge at the $25 and above tier, you get your own personalized wrestling name and it gets shouted out on a show like this. So thank you to Xandermania Running Wild.
Woo!
Well done, and you get a cheap pop as well.
Marcus, he's got soul. Campbell, it's a football joke.
Love it. Don't have a Shane Cowley, man. Thank you very much.
Ooh, Roman Sparks.
You didn't do the hand motion. Do it again. The Titan, Owen Towers. Like Titan Towers, I get
the
it.
The real boss, Matt Robinson.
Woo, yes. Just Incredible Edelheit.
He is thank incredible. You very much. The Jester, Ryan Kester.
Woo, yes, thank you. Ari, the Boozerweight, Feldberg.
Like that. That's a good
great
name.
Name.
And
name.
Lastly for today, the Raven, Chris Alexander.
Woo, yes, thank you very much. Thank you. But let's see what you guys thought of this segment. Let's get into some suit super chats real quick. Spencer O says, Miz made Maurice enter the room first, crying with laughter emoji twice.
Yeah, that's what we said. It's interesting.
Is he a coward?
I really hope that was on purpose.
Me too. It seemed like he was, because he got to the door first, stopped. Maurice came to him, and then he went, in you go.
Yeah, because the Miz is clever enough to sort of think of that. Totally. If it was anyone else, I'd think, oh, that's just how they happen to be standing.
Miz and Bray Wyatt are the two minds
exactly.
behind
and,
this.
And
I think
Daniel Bryan's probably got some input on this as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
They've been given a lot of creative freedom in this, and it's great
totally.
To see.
It's great, yeah. The Line Drive says, the answer is clearly yes, that this is the best rivalry for Bray since debuting this new character. However, it seems odd this is being done in December. Perhaps a slow build to Miz versus Bryan at Mania. I could see that. If Bryan comes back kind of changed
as a heel, yeah,
as a heel, not necessarily like a follower of Bray, but he's changed how he is, because that's the thing, it's so weird as well, because he was a heel and he like just turned face and then Bray's just going to make him turn heel again. I think
that's a cool way of doing it. I think, yeah, like I said, again, if it was someone else who I don't think could pull it off, but I think Bryan is more than capable of pulling this sort of thing off.
Absolutely, yeah. The Line Drive again says, do you think this Miz versus Bray feud is leading to some sort of long-term Bryan versus Miz Mania feud with Miz trying to save Bryan? Yeah, I could totally see that.
Yeah.
I don't know what the title plans are for The Fiend heading into Mania or Rumble.
The rumor, I almost rolled my R there, sorry. Sorry, Ollie. The rumor is that it will be The Fiend versus Roman Reigns because Roman
Oh, totally, because he's going to win the Rumble.
So apparently going to win the Rumble, because that's how you build new stars like Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And on the other side, apparently it's going to be Brock versus Cain Velasquez. 3.
Don't really want to see that, if I'm honest. Kevin comes in to say, also, Monroe is better at selling than Rollins.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Absolutely
that's what we
true.
Said.
Yeah. Final one for now. The Prime Craig said, be honest, please. Do you think Liv Morgan is the doll? And what do you think the doll represents to Bray Wyatt, past/future?
I think that's been speculated for a long time. I think, not after last week. I don't know if you saw.
The makeover thing.
If that's leading to
her makeover being this in the Firefly Funhouse, I think it's a very weird way of doing
it. I mean, the only reason I can see them doing that is to literally throw them off the scent. So yeah. To be like, look, she's having this crazy, wacky makeover. And then she comes back the week after just like, oh yeah, she's a follower.
I wanted to come back. I really like Liv Morgan. I'm one of those...
You're one of those.
I'm one of those fans who just likes her for apparently no reason.
Yeah.
Because she hasn't really done anything. But of the Riot Squad, she's definitely in the top three. That's what I'd say.
Let's get into the rest of the show. So this week's show kicked off with a recap of Roman versus Ziggler last week and the whole dog food incident and what happened with that. The editing on this was hilarious because they kept cutting to shots of the crowd being like, no, with it like was hands
if,
over their
it,
mouths.
It was as if they'd just gone, oh, we need some actual reaction. They'd gone, right, WrestleMania 30, Undertaker, just cut some of that in. You're going to have people going, oh my God. That's dog food.
No way. Dog food.
It was a bit corny. They were trying to make it sound like he'd actually been hurt.
Yeah.
Rather than had some meat tipped on him.
Dog food.
Not for the first time we'll see meat in this
How's
show,
he even
actually.
Still walking this week? But the show itself actually kicks off with King Corbin coming out on his sedan chair, etc. Ziggler's already in the ring waiting for him, and they cut a promo on the smelly, disgusting
Ziggler
people.
Looking like a B-list celebrity trying to hide himself on a bus, kind of...
Yeah.
With a SmackDown cap. Yeah. It was as if he'd done a tour of SmackDown and they'd gone, right, now you finish the tour, we've got a bit of surprise, you get this hat.
And some sunglasses. And some blue sunglasses. Yeah.
His hair was impeccable. But,
totally. They cut a promo. He says he's going to beat Roman and become the sole leader of SmackDown on Sunday. He got a chant.
Talked about how great his 2019 was. He's beat Kurt Angle, he's a King of the Ring winner. And now he's going to humiliate Roman at TLC.
They said it was going to be a quick promo. They were lying. Ziggler attempted to do an All Hail King Corbin kind of chant before they get interrupted by the New Day. Oh, Cream City.
Cream City. And I was... I called you Queen. Queen over here. Thought that he'd said Queen City, which...
I had no idea.
And I thought... I said, no, Pete.
That's Charlotte, North Carolina.
No, Pete. I'm pretty sure... They said Cream City, and Pete said, "Oh, that's stupid. Why would it be
Cream City?"
But it turns out Milwaukee, for people who don't know, is called the Cream City.
It's called the Cream City
because all the bricks are yellow cream colored. So
the more you know,
every day, yeah.
The New Day do some local pops for Milwaukee, and they say that Corbin has a Burger King crown. Corbin then called out Kofi for losing the WWE Championship to Brock Lesnar in 7 seconds. And at this point, I was like, oh, finally.
Yeah, they've acknowledged it.
Like, Kofi can get a chance now to be like, hey, this happened, but here's how I felt about it.
Yeah.
Here's my motivations going after it. And look, I'm a tag champ now, so, you know, everything's not so bad. But yeah, it kind of got me down, but I fought back after it and all that stuff. No, what he said instead was, actually, it was 8 seconds. So
psych.
Yeah, got you good. It's, oh, Kofi, that's so lame. And then he followed it up with being like, I'm still a champion of the people.
Yeah. And then it took about...
It's a bad line.
It took about 20 seconds for someone in the crowd to go, Kofi,
Kofi, Kofi.
It was a bad segment.
It is a terrible segment.
It sort of... shows how bad it was when Big E and Kofi can't save a promo segment.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Because they did get a bit of heat, Corbin and Ziggler, when they were sort of saying, oh, what's that smell? Oh, it's the people.
The smelly, disgusting people.
But it could be the dog food. So they got a bit of kind of very cheap heat. But it was about 20 minutes, that opening segment.
Yeah, it was long.
It was completely unnecessary. You could have had them meet backstage for a minute and just go, oh, let's have a fight in the main event, which is what we got for the main event later on.
Yeah, it was Kofi Kingston versus King Corbin was set up. Kofi did a slap at one point to him.
Yeah.
And then Corbin was like, I'm going to humiliate you. And then he walked away.
Yeah.
Sure, whatever. And then we got Ziggler and Corbin were backstage after that. We had a bit of an ad break and stuff, came back. Ziggler and Corbin backstage, and they mentioned in their promo that Roman Reigns is not going to be here tonight because they've got every window and entrance covered by their security.
Someone should do some research. Last 20 years, when someone said, he's not here tonight, if there's ever been a time where that was actually true, because I don't think there will be.
No, totally not.
And they go backstage, and Roman has decided to... Or no, someone...
We don't know who...
Has beaten up just two bleached blonde people. Like, there was one Ric Flair lying outside, mm-hmm. and then there was another guy with horrible, long, bleached blonde hair lying there, and they're going...
What's happened?
Who could have done this?
Who did this? What does this mean?
Rowan.
I mean, almost. Mm. Just change one letter. And then I wrote here, come on, guys, we're not idiots.
No.
I think this would have been fine. This was a story-wide show. This happened again another time where they found some guards. And
Because it just makes them look stupid.
It makes them look dumb.
And we don't want stupid here.
And the worst thing is, I think in their heads, we also aren't supposed to know who's done it. So then it's like... Who could it be, everyone?
It's also that sort of pantomime thing where what's it called when the crowd knows?
It's a term. I do know it. When the crowd knows something, but the actors don't.
Be commenting this.
It's dramatic irony.
That's the one. So yeah, everyone knows that it was Roman. Like everyone knows it was Roman. There's not. Not even like 4-year-old kids sitting at home thinking,
"Who is that?
I knew that was." It was just a bad storyline throughout the night. It was mildly saved right at the end.
Yes, it was.
But we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. We then get a recap of Mandy Rose versus Alexa Bliss from last week, where she pulled off her very real her actual eyelashes.
Disgusting.
Got pulled out, guys.
Disgusting.
They're
behavior.
Very real. And it's made this feud so personal because she pulled out her very, very real and not fake eyelashes.
Because apparently, according to Michael Cole, eyelashes are all attached to one long eyelash that goes along the middle. And next Michael Cole will be going, oh my God, she's ripped her lips off when she's just got a wet wipe just rubbing her mouth. Yeah, it's not a feud that I'm getting into. And that's not their fault. They've just been given terrible...
It's a terrible story, for one. And there's no time in it either, because this one was supposed to be Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross versus Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. Mm. Alexa and Nikki are backstage in gorilla position having an interview, and in actually a pretty good moment, Mandy and Sonya, they run out, they were already in the ring, they run up the ramp, go into gorilla, and start beating down on Alexa and Nikki in gorilla position. I was like,
I was so
that's
surprised
cool.
by that, that I went, oh,
yeah,
that's
I
how
was
good
like,
it was.
Oh, that's cool. And then they kind of brawled outside. They got into the ring. Mm. Tag match started. I was like, all right, that was a unique way to start it off. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
Didn't go anywhere because it went for about a minute.
And the cameras missed the finish.
The camera missed the finish because they went for a double suplex. Mm. Alexa Bliss on the outside grabs Mandy Rose's leg. Pulls her to the outside. The camera follows Mandy Rose to the outside. Meanwhile, in the ring, the finish is happening. Nikki Cross hits a neckbreaker for the win. But we don't see that.
We see 2, 3, and I
guess she won.
She won. Yeah. Could have been any move. Luckily, they did show a replay. I mean,
yes.
Luckily, whatever. They showed a replay of the finish, and it was, her normal finisher.
And it's like...
And...
Granted, it's not a very good story.
I bet you 10 Wrestle League... No. So this will be another match next week.
Totally.
Because they don't know what they're doing.
Match on the pre-show at TLC.
There'll be a quota. Oh.
Yeah.
There'll be a quota. You have to have 2 women's segments a week. And they've just gone...
And they've gone bare minimum.
Let's just do a repeat of last week, but let's make it a tag match.
Exactly, yeah.
And it was the same result, and no one in the crowd cared.
But I can't blame
them.
Why
would they? Yeah.
Why would they care? They've been given a terrible story and absolutely no time to develop it. So, you know, what can you do? But then we get a backstage segment of Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn's a heavy machinery come into shot.
Mm.
And they say, oh, it's Secret Santa got you a gift. Otis, both of them in their Santa hats. Otis gives him this little gift. And Sami is like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Christmas gift. So he kind of opens it up and it's a ham. And that's bad for 2 reasons.
Mm.
Because... not only is Sammy a vegan, he's also a Muslim.
Yeah.
So they definitely can't have ham. So he goes off on Otis, saying like, this is the worst gift I've ever received.
What did he call him? He called him a dumb oaf.
He called him a dumb oaf. And then Otis just kind of gives him an angry look and goes, and he kind of backs off to be like, classic, like, Sammy heel-ness. Yeah. Just backing off to be like, hey, now, before, you know, do anything, we all said some stuff that we don't, that we didn't mean, etc. But then Cesaro and Nakamura kind of flank him, and he's just saying, yeah, and we will beat you up later. I was that's great Sammy stuff.
And so then Cesaro grabs the ham and does a World's Strongest Slam, or a World's Strongest Ham.
I don't know if we should invite you back next week.
Hey, that joke was... that people liked that joke last week in the comments. Pedigree chum.
Yeah, World's Strongest Ham to the floor, and Otis sold this amazingly. He just went... and then just went, duck it!
Otis is... great. The best thing on SmackDown.
He's so good.
Apart from The Fiend, obviously.
Apart from The Fiend. But mainly Otis. Mm. But then we get a really fun tag match, actually, which was Shorty G and Mustafa Ali versus The Revival.
Hey, Pete, I've got a really good idea for a tag name for Shorty G and Mustafa Ali that no one else has thought of.
Mm.
It's Ali G.
Yeah, which we said when they first started tagging all that time ago.
You heard it here first.
And second, Pete was third.
Pete was so impressed when I suggested fourth. That.
He literally suggested that to me in the office earlier today when we were watching. When he was watching SmackDown, he said, they should be called Ali G. I was like, mate, it's an old joke. Anyway, Dash Wilder falls over on his entrance. LMAO. And then, but the match itself was very, very fun. It was a short match. It didn't go very long. There was a few spots, went to an ad break, came back, and then kind of hot tag sequence happened and the finish happened. But there were some really cool near falls and some fun sequences in this.
It was great. Yeah, there were some great bits. There were the double splash with the 450, which he sold as if Dash Wilder had like a knife on his stomach. it just built to a really nice kind of finish where you'd seen Ali go for
a tornado DDT
before,
and
miss it. So then he sort of tried to do it again, but straight into a shatter machine,
which was super duper rad.
Yeah,
it was a great spot.
And it was, and because all four of them are so good, they executed it brilliantly.
Yep.
And the Revival take on the New Day tomorrow night.
Yep, and in a ladder match.
In a ladder match, which is going to be amazing. Ollie is very excited.
Yeah, it should be very, very good. This was a very fun match, put over the right people who are going to be having the match for the tag titles. And it was really, really good. It didn't make Shorty G and Ollie look particularly bad either.
No.
It just looked like the Revival were really good.
But I don't think they should be a tag team.
I mean, they're all right.
I mean, they're okay for now, whilst they haven't actually got anything else to do.
That's true.
I mean, they're small, so they're not going to get over anyway.
Mm, of course. But how could someone small ever get over?
Exactly. I mean, it was a good match.
It was fun.
And it was the best match on the card by a long way.
Best match on the show.
It didn't have a lot to compete with in terms
of
matches.
That's true, yeah. Then we're backstage with Kayla Braxton. She's interviewing Bayley, and she says that Sasha's away off recording a rap album, which is why she's not here this week.
And that's the Christmas list of things I don't want.
Yeah. She starts running down Lacey Evans, but then Elias interrupts with Dana Brooke, and Bayley walks over to him and says, you interrupted my interview.
I'm the champion.
I'm the champion, etc. And he says, oh, don't worry, Bayley, because I've picked you in Secret Santa. It's not how Secret Santa works.
No.
But he says, "Don't worry, for Secret Santa, I've got you a song." So he does a little song and he runs her down, which the first line was funny.
But then he starts talking about how she wants to have a threesome with him
something
and Sasha.
Like that. Oh no, I think Father Christmas said to him that he should have a threesome with Bailey and Sasha, and he was like, no thanks.
And then he said something about her being rude and then rhymed it to say that her new haircut
makes her look like a dude.
And you can just see Vince going, ha, 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 in the background, like, oh, she's got a new haircut. Oh, she looks like a bloke.
Exactly.
Vince saying bloke. He looks like a bloke. No. She looks like a dude. You can just see him writing that. And it started well. And when I say started well, I had one good line in it.
The first line was good when he was saying, like, her face haunts him like the ghost of Christmas past. I was like, that's funny.
Everyone's saying Elias is a face. He bullied Drake Maverick.
It's fine, Datsun.
He bullied Bayley.
Fine because they're heels, so they can get bullied. Because bullying is okay if you're doing it to someone who's not very nice.
I have ethics. Bayley's not even that not nice. She's just kind of turned on the fans a bit because they never cheered her.
Exactly.
Which is sort of more understandable. But like calling someone a dude because they've got a haircut is the most playground.
I know. It's not great.
Pointless. And this whole kind of... What is it they do? The anti-bullying.
Be a star.
Be a star, yeah. So then twice a year we have these bullying
storylines.
The thing is,
if that was flipped, where Bayley was the face and Elias is the heel, we'd be like, what a bully.
Yeah.
What a bully. But you know who else found it hilarious, though? Dana Brooke.
She found it so hilarious.
So funny.
That Bayley challenged her to a bad match.
Yeah.
She didn't say, I'll challenge you to a bad match. But
she said, I'll challenge you to a match.
We knew it was coming. But Dana Brooke has now mastered the art of, if I do a flip, it'll hurt more. In fact, she did two in a row.
She did two of them with a handspring elbow.
Handspring soft elbow.
Yeah. My two notes for this match are, Brooke hits a sunset powerbomb out of the corner, and then Bayley comes back, kicks her knee out, does her new finisher facebuster thing, and the commentators absolutely no-sell it.
Yeah, her kind of knee, literally, rubbing your knee facebuster.
It's her thing where she kind of just does the face into the floor, and the commentators are just like, oh, face first. And she's got the cover. Yeah, is that it? Yes, it is.
It was as if they forgot that she'd changed her finisher.
It was exactly that, yeah. Exactly.
They kind of went, oh, yeah, match is over. Well, of course it is. That's her move.
Exactly. And very, very quickly, they were like, oh, great win for Bayley. And now let's do a recap of The Fiend versus Miz. It was like, really like, move along.
Yeah.
So women's division has been given zero.
Yeah.
Like, total time for this week is probably about 4 minutes.
Yeah.
For two segments.
I was writing a script for Ollie, for one of his Christmas scripts.
Mm.
And I was sort of just talking about how the lack of Ronda Rousey has just killed this division.
Totally, it has.
And I can see that if Ronda Rousey comes back, they'll do an Evolution 2.
Mm-hmm.
If she doesn't come back, there will never be another Evolution. Because they just don't care anymore.
No, they don't.
They cared when it was Ronda. They cared when it was Becky, Ronda.
Because they feel like they can make money off
Charlotte,
it.
Because they are the money makers. But anyone else, they just couldn't care less.
They just don't care.
And it shows every week. And it's really quite sad to see because Bayley's great. Sasha Banks is great. Dana Brooke, whatever. But, And
I will say for Dana Brooke, she's improved a lot.
She does actual moves now. She did a sunset flip powerbomb. I couldn't believe it. She did a swanton a couple of weeks ago.
So like she's a lot better than she was. She's not on the same level as, you know.
She's Charlotte Flair's protege.
Yeah, she was once upon a time.
Mm.
After that, we get another Sheamus promo in a dark, dark corridor.
Yeah, Irish music. Him
saying the same thing.
SmackDown.
SmackDown's changed.
It's now the home of wimps and weaklings.
Yeah.
It's a home without a heart. Celtic Warrior has returned.
Same promo as before.
But I still can't. I mean, he's probably a heel, isn't he?
Yeah, totally.
So he's coming back to. I feel like I'm just more ambiguous about these things because everyone's sort of like. When he says, I'm coming back to bring the heart to back SmackDown Down, SmackDown Live. If Ali said that, you'd be like, oh.
What a great babyface.
What a great babyface.
But I feel like, though, the context there is I'm going to bring the heart back and I'm going to crush anyone that doesn't stand in my way, I believe was the next line.
He's foreign, so of course he's a heel.
Of course he's a heel, yeah. So it's the same promo as before, but I'm still excited to see him back. After that, we got the Miz interview that we talked about before. And then we get Heavy Machinery versus Cesaro and Nakamura. And this was also a fun match.
It was fine. It wasn't as good as the one earlier, but it was the second best match on the show.
It was.
And it helps massively when the crowd care. And the crowd cares about Otis.
Otis is so over.
So over.
It's ridiculous. Sami Zayn's still the greatest thing during Nakamura's entrance.
Yeah.
Still amazing.
I turned around to Pete while I was watching this saying, has Nakamura got backing dancers? And it was just Sami Zayn.
Just Sami Zayn.
Doing that.
It was great. There was a really nice, there was a great shot in this match where Nakamura hits his running knee in the corner to whoever it was. They were laid across the top rope and hit the knee in the corner. And the camera just kind of stays there for a second. And just across the bottom corner, Sami Zayn's face just comes in and just goes, like across the shot. It was so good.
He's fantastic.
I love Sami Zayn so much. There were massive We Want Otis chants during this. Otis got a really nice hot tag sequence.
Yeah.
Otis taking his top off is like Angel Garza taking his trousers off. The crowd go mental when he takes his top off.
He has the body of an angel.
It's amazing. Otis just yells out, "I'm coming!" And Graves says, "Interesting proclamation."
Yeah.
Interesting proclamation
that
by
Otis.
That
was the one bit of good comment. Can we talk quickly to talk about the commentary this evening?
It's pretty bad.
Because it was awful. Because
it's pretty bad.
After the Miz Wyatt segment,
yes,
you've got Graves going, "Oh man, that was just, there's some things you just don't do." And for the rest of the night, he's just a terrible heel.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of going, look at Sami Zayn. He's so great. And Cole's kind of being the annoying babyface. Those two together, they need a third wheel.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Renee Young, because unfortunately it didn't really work with her, but someone who can distract them from just being
annoying.
You're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're more wrong.
Exactly, yeah.
It was a bad, bad night for commentary. But let's not get too negative. It was a fun match.
It was a fun match.
It was sort of well booked. Sami Zayn, Otis was going for the caterpillar. Sami Zayn distracts him. Otis gets thrown out the ring by Cesaro. Nakamura hits a Kinshasa for the win on Tucker.
So Zayn, useful for the heels, which is good.
Yep.
And yeah, it allows Shinsuke, IC champ, to get another pinfall victory.
And it means that we are not getting the rumoured match, because there was a rumour for a while that Braun Strowman was going to set up a match with Shinsuke Nakamura, but he has back spasms, some kind of back injury, and seems to be out for a bit longer than first thought, which is a bit worrying, but hopefully he'll be back soon, because there's only so many weeks you can get out of Shinsuke tagging.
Yes, exactly, yeah. Corbin and Ziggler are backstage again with more guards talking to them. We get a recap of Batista and NWO going in the Hall of Fame. They say the original four of the NWO, which is just straight up not true, but hey, I guess if you just say it, it's true now. And then we get the main event, which is Kofi Kingston versus Baron Corbin, and we get another recap of Roman Reigns getting dog food over him again.
So we had Baron and Dolph backstage finding the broken
sedan chair,
thing,
yeah.
Whatever. But yeah, and then that was the main event time. And yeah. AR is horrible.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Mm.
There's little things. The New Day one, I'll say, looked okay.
The banners for Corbin
are awful.
Horrendous.
They're really, really bad. And they're going to
date horribly. I feel like we're spiraling into negativity.
Yeah, they're going to date horribly. There's some STD chance for Corbin. This match, I would say, is a match. It was
like the main event from last week, where no one expected it to finish. And that was the problem, because the crowd didn't care. Like, the crowd thought, Roman's turning up, Roman's turning up, Roman's turning up. It was just a matter of, When's Roman turning up?
Yeah. As it turns out for this match, he didn't. Because it gets to a point where it looks like Kofi Kingston's going to win. He managed to hit an SOS and a boom drop. He's winding up for the Trouble in Paradise. But then Ziggler grabs Kofi's ankle. Plain view of the ref, by the way, which should be a DQ. But ref just goes, "No, that's fine. Ziggler, you're out of here." Eject Ziggler from the match. Ziggler goes up the ramp, goes out, then comes right back down and starts beating up Big E on the outside. Kofi then goes to beat up Ziggler and punches Ziggler while Ziggler's still punching Big E. Corbin then hits Kingston, and then the match gets thrown out.
Yes.
Which is when all the legal people were hitting the legal people, and the non-legal people were hitting the non-legal people.
Speaking of legal people, the match we talked about earlier, I'm convinced that neither Nakamura or Tucker was the legal man.
So it
was a bad night for legal people.
I don't know if they might have been. I don't know. I'm pretty sure Tucker was.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know about
Shinsuke. Yeah, no, so
whatever.
It got thrown out, and then they were like, "Oh, let's have a tag match."
Big E was just like, you want a match? We've got a match right now. It's like,
he feared or longed it.
Yeah. So then we have a tag match of Big E and Kofi versus Dolph and Barrett.
Which got 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, and again, for this match, it was a match. It was just kind of everyone still waiting. It's like, so where's Roman then? Yeah.
And then they got the handcuffs out, and then it was DQ.
And then it got
the world's longest handcuffs. The whole point of I know that they're setting up a spot, but the whole point of handcuffs is that you can't move your hands when you're in them.
Yeah.
Because the whole point is to restrain you. He's got these handcuffs, and he could be doing the YMCA in these things. And yeah, and then they set up for the spot that they did last week. They get the dog food out. The whole crowd is going, oh, again. And then
the revival come out.
The
first,
revival come out
and
to beat
out
up
of
Big
nowhere
E.
and just hit a Shatter Machine on Big E because they can on the outside.
Because obviously setting up their match tomorrow night, and then you get bah, Roman comes out.
Burdum.
To
Burdum.
A massive reaction.
It was a monster pop
and it's
for
so
Roman.
Good to see that their main babyface is getting a babyface reaction. I know it helps that everyone hates Corbin.
Totally, yeah.
But Roman got a huge reaction. He easily beat up pretty much everyone.
It was everyone. There was like 10 or so guards, I think, and the Revival and Ziggler and Corbin.
Yeah.
And he just kind of beat them all up. I think he managed to get a Superman punch onto Corbin, but that was it. He didn't do too much else to him. So Corbin kind of scattered away. And there was one point where Reigns are beating everyone. Kofi was still kind of, you know, hung up on the turnbuckle post. And Reigns picked up the dog food. And part of me was just like, he'll turn. Reigns, put the dog food on Kofi. Do it. But no, obviously not. I put, do it, Reigns, do it. It would make no sense, but do it. Obviously, he didn't. Ziggler then came back with a super kick on Reigns. And the Revival held him down on the commentary table. Ziggler got a little ladder, climbed up to the top and was going to dive off, but Reigns fought off the Revival, climbed up the ladder, and then chokeslammed Ziggler.
With a horrible bump.
Yeah, it was a horrible bump. Into the
commentary
table.
He just went full floppy. And you never want to go full floppy when you're on a table. he just his whole body just kind of flopped in half.
You never want to go full floppy is...
No, ever.
That's just a quote now.
And then, he sort of stood tall at the end.
He stood tall. So I will say, I don't like the story that they've done with Reigns and Corbin and the dog food and the dog mascot and all that stuff. I hate it. However, you can't deny that was a gigantic reaction that Roman got. So I guess the story's working.
The story has worked and people have started to like Roman out of it. And
totally.
To be honest, if that's what your goal is, which is the goal because they're building him for Mania.
Yeah.
And to win the Rumble and things like that, if that's the way it's going, then absolutely well done. But the problem here is that because your main champion is the Fiend, who only ever appears on backstage things, and he never wrestles, your top wrestling heel is Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
With his, to coin the phrase, mid-card of evil.
Mid-card vortex, mid-card of evil.
And so every week I'm just thinking, I wonder what Baron Corbin did in the main event of SmackDown this week. And that's not an exciting thing for me. I don't wake up on a Saturday morning thinking, oh, great, I watched SmackDown this morning. Baron Corbin must have been in the main event.
Yeah.
It's an issue that they can't really solve now because Fiend's going to be champion probably until WrestleMania. So are we going to have 5 months of Baron Corbin in the main event facing just a variety of mid-card
Sheamus faces when he comes back? Maybe he can take that slot off Corbin and Corbin can go back to being really, really good in like the US or I guess the IC now title picture.
I can absolutely see Sheamus being singles star for 2 weeks and then joining Cesaro and Nakamura again.
3 week push.
Yeah.
You know it's going to happen. So overall, I thought this episode had some really fun stuff in the middle. Had some really stuff. The really fun stuff in the middle. The two tag matches middle of the show and the Fiend Miz segment I thought was brilliant.
There was enough to make it not a missable show.
Totally, yes. I'd say it was surrounded by Corbin and Reigns nonsense, but I guess it's working for some people. So overall, I gave this a 3 out of 5, a smack bang in the middle.
Yeah, I would have given it sort of, 3 out of 5. There were points where I was thinking 2 and a bit out of 5, but then I just thought, thinking back on it, I was like, okay, yeah, it was a perfectly acceptable show, and there was enough good stuff in there to make me forget the bad.
Yeah.
Just like last week, in fact.
Yeah, exactly that. Let's quickly see what you guys thought. We did a poll on our community YouTube tab earlier in the day. Asking what you guys thought of SmackDown, and 4% of people thought it was magnificent, 13% said Smacktastic, 58% said smack bang in the middle.
Wow, we're so right.
15% said smack downer, and 10% said a smack in the face.
Oh, don't be so negative.
So it does seem generally that kind of middling 3 out of 5 range is what we're looking at for most people there.
Good, not great. Fine, not terrible.
Yeah,
either.
I wouldn't say it was actively damaging this week. No. Apart from the women's division.
No.
Because that stuff is
but
damaging.
But even that's not damaging. It's just kind of
totally
nothing.
Totally is, though. It totally is. If you look at where Alexa Bliss was
that's
and where
true.
She is now, that's a hell of a decline. But for now, let's get into the rest of your Susu Super Chats. We got some more about the Miz Bray Wyatt angle. Kevin comes in to say the only guy that's actually not here when they say he's not here is Brock Lesnar.
He's got a point.
Yeah, that's very true.
I think that's probably something. I think Heyman has said that before. Brock has been there. But yeah, I mean, you could say it any week, really.
Yeah. Wilson Simons comes in to say exactly the same thing. Brock Lesnar hasn't been there when they say he won't be
okay,
here multiple times.
I was wrong.
Yeah. Wilson Simons again says, damn you, Kevin, for beating me to the punch. That's good. Tomo comes in to say, my 5-year-old niece didn't enjoy SmackDown, but since she loves Otis, she said SmackDown was awesome. Otis is amazing.
Yeah, he can make the show better.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sorry your 5-year-old niece didn't enjoy the show.
Yeah.
She can watch the live stream tomorrow night. Maybe that'll be more to her taste.
Yeah, the TLC. The Prime Craig said, is it weird that I smile and laugh with sadistic things Bray Wyatt does? I find pleasure in it. Haha, let him in. Also, who will face Wyatt if it isn't Bryan? I see them changing WrestleMania plans, TBH.
It depends what kind of pleasure you're getting from it. If it's just kind of like, this is fun.
This is fun.
But if it's a...
If it's a, like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Bit weird.
Yeah. But I don't think they're going to have Ryan at WrestleMania anyway. I think it's going to be Roman at WrestleMania because they'll build The Fiend as a, who can beat him?
Yeah, Bryan at Rumble.
And
Reigns at Mania.
Reigns at Mania.
Thank you. Sounds about right.
Do we want The Fiend in Elimination Chamber?
No.
No.
I'd want the Elimination Chamber match. That's really hard to say, because if Roman wins the Rumble, then you'd want an Elimination Chamber match for the number one contender for the WWE Championship to see who's going to face Lesnar, assuming he's still got the title. And then you'd really want another Elimination Chamber, unless they do a women's match.
A Raw Elimination Chamber match and have Velasquez win that.
Yeah, and then you have like maybe like the SmackDown Women's Title Elimination Chamber match
or
something like that.
Or 3 from Raw, 3 from SmackDown.
Yeah, that works.
The winner gets to choose a title to go for. And if Velasquez wins, he'll obviously go for
Lesnar. But then the Rumble winner would have already been decided. So that wouldn't even make sense.
Okay, well then...
Okay, then just
draft.
Yeah. Aonicus said, the long handcuffs are actually meant to be put on the ankle so that a prisoner can move but not run.
I think you could still run in those. They are that long. I think you could do squats. No, not squats. Well, there are lunges in those things.
Yeah. John Jones says, the reactions from Roman and the Lashley storyline prove that WWE's core fans digest stories differently than the SWAF Nation. Vince is a genius?
Vince is a genius. I guess so.
Vince is an amazing detective / genius.
Yes, he is. That's nice. I like
that's
that.
That's a good reference.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I'm glad. You know what? I really like the fact that people can enjoy things that I don't. Because if everyone enjoyed the same things that I did and didn't enjoy the same thing that I did, everything would be very boring.
Yes, it would.
Good for you if you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, more power to you.
Absolutely, yes. Some general WrestleTalk related super chats now.
Mm-hmm.
Datrain said, Michelle Rose and I agree. This is Datsun's fault, talking about the technical difficulties we had before we started this stream.
I actually don't think it was anyone's fault. Was
no, it was literally because for whatever reason, we pressed go live and it just said, can't connect right now, try again. But we didn't see that until we'd already been streaming.
Well, I can say
like
it wasn't
minutes.
My fault.
My lady partner comes in with a super chat saying, will you marry me, Peter Chawopper, Quinn Smell?
Is that me?
No.
Oh.
And I'll think about it. Adam Pearson says, happy Christmas to my 2 favorite people.
Oh, Adam, you're my favorite person too.
Adam's amazing.
Adam
we love Adam.
Wonderful.
He's great. Andrew Harris says, good morning, MVP Datsun and Chopper. When is Datsun getting his own shirt? That's a good question.
I'm actually wearing a shirt right now.
That's true.
And it is mine. It's got mooses on it.
Mm. Well, in terms of merch, though, we'll have to... Meese?
No, I actually had this conversation with Brian on our... You may have heard Brian's voice.
The brain.
Brian's voice. He is from Canada, and he said it's just moose singular. Moose singular and moose plural.
Meese. Louise Marie said, been so grateful for you guys lately. You've all been helping me get through a really tough time. My favorite channel. Well, thank you very much, Louise.
I hope it gets easier for you during the holiday season.
Duffs 101 said, wait a minute. Luke's birthday's on the same day as Pete's? What are the chances?
I know, it's crazy. It's amazing how these things happen.
You're only the third person to say that joke today. Zach Icon Littner said, happy birthday, Chopper Pete. Cheers. Spike Mike Gaming said, listening live for the first time in a long time. A lovely time with the Chandy.
Is that going to be our thing?
Chandy?
Or Chopper Andy?
It's like a shandy.
Could it be candy?
Worse. Candy is better because we're so sweet. Mm. That was bad. Kevin says, can anybody tell Andy that Liverpool was struggling to beat the last team in the league? Also, I was wondering why it took Roman forever to help Kofi.
Liverpool won 2-0. I don't see why that's a struggle. I mean, that's
how do you know they won 2-0? You've been checking the scores while we've been streaming, Datsun.
No. I get notifications that pop up in the corner.
So, yes, you've been checking the scores while we've been streaming.
Technically not, because I would have had to go to another site. But that doesn't mean... Anyway, let's not talk about football.
Anyway, yes, why did it take Roman forever to help Kofi? Because he quite clearly had no problem dispatching of the guards.
He'd been there for a long time. He'd been there all night.
He was literally waiting there, just like, no, not now. Not now. I'll wait for the perfect time. Yeah. Oh, look. Yeah, he's got the handcuffs. Wait. Now he's in the position I was in last week. Now's the time. Let's go.
The real reason is because they had to fill 2 hours.
Yeah, totally. Zach Icon Lintner said, of course Datsun is a Slytherin. Evil man you are.
Now, that's a negative stereotype. Not all Slytherins are bad people. They're just...
Snape's good.
Snape, well, Snape's a bit of a... He's not very nice, but he's got good intentions overall. Malfoy,
he's not all bad. He's not evil.
Malfoy gets manipulated a lot, and totally. He turns out all right.
Yeah.
They're just cunning.
Thought you were going to say something else then. Sean said, Chopper without a beanie and Randy Andy Datsun, keep up with the good work on YouTube and website, lads. Thank you very much.
Just keep no hat on.
I totally forgot to wear my beanie today. Mm. It was legit. I just forgot to wear it. I started walking out and about, 5 minutes away from my flat as I was walking, I was like, my head's really cold.
It's lucky you've got like a full head of hair to keep you warm.
Anyway, last minute super chat here from Eric Bardouche, who said, don't forget the possibility of Brock versus Roman at Mania for the WWE title. I feel like Roman would get booed again, against The Fiend. He'd get booed against Lesnar, probably.
Yeah,
I don't want him to do Lesnar again.
They'd have to do a draft.
They'd have to do a switch.
And I think even they have learned that match doesn't work as the main event. Because if that was
They've
a
done
match,
it, five times
it would
now.
Be the main event.
Yeah. And it would just be the worst.
And, I would much rather see Roman Fiend and Brock against someone else than Brock Roman again.
Yes. Right, I've got another email here from Gio, who has emailed in also about the In My Veins Randy Orton stuff.
Right,
but it's not about... He's done a completely different interpretation of what it means.
Okay.
Rather than the merchandise. So, hi Pete and Dave. Close enough.
My dad's best friend is called Dave. So, it's pretty much the same thing.
Your dad's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
All right. First, I believe I cracked the In My Veins thing of Randy Orton. I hope this would be cathartic for the friend Dave. Well, hope he's listening. I believe it has to be with the fact of Randy being a third generation wrestler. Therefore, wrestling is in his veins. But who knows? Also, just a quick update about my new job. It's been great and I'm feeling right where I should be. I'm back on track with my losing weight goal. And hopefully by the time you read this, I'll already be a pledge hammer. Hell yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you, Gio.
Well done on losing weight.
Yes.
And being in the job you like.
Exactly. That's always
and
good.
I like that as an interpretation, but I think it is the Viper thing.
I totally think, it's
because
more
of the merch.
The venom got, in my veins.
Yeah. I mean, yes, he's got Cowboy Bob Orton and things like that.
Mm.
But I think that would be a weird way to talk about your dad.
Totally.
Like, oh yeah, you remind me so much of your father. And you just go, it's in my veins.
It's in my veins.
Yeah.
It's weird. With the year coming to an end, just want to thank you guys, the whole crowd at WrestleTalk and the SWAF Nation for being such an awesome community. And I hope we become bigger and stronger in the years to come. Lastly, a question and a joke. Why does everyone relate fish and chips with you British? Is it like tacos for Mexico? Yeah, it's kind of a British thing, isn't it? Fish and chips.
Yeah, it's a thing you generally get at the seaside. Totally. I would say tacos. I guess it sort of is, but I think sort of bangers and mash. I would think the taco equivalent is like tea, afternoon tea.
That's
the standard bearer of food that we have here. Scones and tea, or scones.
Scones.
But on the subject of him thanking us, I would just like to thank everyone who gave me such a warm welcome last week. It was very nice, because obviously it was a very last minute sort of thing that Ollie realised that everyone was on holiday.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the guy who does the scheduling for the office, right? To peel back the curtain a little bit, and I had scheduled this in a long time ago because I said I still have like 9 days of holiday to take, and we're getting to December. Mm. Can I take this week off? I figured out a way where we can still do all the videos that everyone needs to do, and I can take my week off. Mm. And they were like, yeah, that's fine. So I took my week off, and I said, by the way, Dave is also going to be away for that weekend because he's going to be in America. And they were like, that's fine. We'll work it out. And I said, cool. I'm going to move these people around here. Luke can have this day off. Ollie can have this day off. They can both come in on Saturday. Ollie and Luke can do the Saturday show. Everybody's happy. And then apparently while I was away, Luke was like, no, I can't do that. Even though that had been scheduled for like weeks in advance.
We watched so much WWE that we basically just make up the plans in the week prior.
But As you go.
I got the text from Molly, and obviously I made the effort to come along, and it was very rewarding. I was very thankful for everyone who was so nice to me and sent me nice tweets and commented. There was one guy who called me a geek. Mm-hmm. And then I said that he was mean, and then he immediately backtracked. he's like, I wasn't trying to be mean, I'm sorry.
Amazing.
But I'm still thankful to him for noticing that I am.
Yeah, because you are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, as you'll see, I'm wearing a Harry Potter Christmas jumper.
That's true.
But what's the joke?
The joke is, why is a wrestler's sex life boring? Because they always have to be over. Yeah. Because it's got to be over. It's always short. It's got to be over in wrestling to be popular.
See, I like the what's a... Oh, no, what was it? Like...
Steady now. Whenever you start thinking of jokes, I instantly just go, hang on.
No, I'm not going to do it.
See, I called it.
The punchline is no holes barred.
No holes barred.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's good. Yeah, Thank you very much. That's a very good one.
So you can imagine, you can just make up your own joke, but there's the punchline.
Yeah. I'm not going to delve into that one. We're going to get into a different email here from Sam Smith, not that one, who says, hi, Pete and Dave, just Dave. Close enough. See, we were talking about this earlier, actually. Mm. And he said, can we please now refer to Shorty G and Mustafa Ali as their tag team name? Nobody is calling them Ali G. Which we have called them that several times.
I thought I was being... Because my job up to now has generally involved me having to get up early and things, I don't generally watch SmackDown live. I watch the highlights, sort of extended highlights. And so I also often don't listen to commentary. So I just thought that I was being incredibly clever by going, hey, Pete.
Yeah, earlier today when you were watching this SmackDown.
This team is surely, it should be called Ali G. And Pete's like, yeah, that's been going on for like months now.
Yeah, literally. Ah. They've been tagging since like the Saudi Crown Jewel for Team Hogan. And then everyone started calling them Ali G.
You heard it here first.
But you didn't.
Yeah.
You've heard it here. Well, you did hear it on the WrestleTalk podcast first, but like a month ago or more. But then
trendsetters.
That's what we are. Sam Smith then says, I don't know how or why nobody has thought of this yet. We have. Keep up the consistently bang average content. Mm. WrestleTalk's resident doctor, Sam Smith.
Doctor?
Yeah. Hell yeah. We've got a doctor listening to us.
I'm sure we've got... I wonder what the most interesting profession...
See, we got a really cool one, actually, was that Matthew Perry that emailed in earlier. Mm. He's emailed in... Emails in... Most of the time, actually, most weeks when I'm doing the SmackDown stuff, he's in the US military And he was saying, oh, what part of my thing is I'm going to be going out to Europe, into Poland. And just so you guys know, I listened to you while I was on top of a tank. I was like, oh my God, wow. That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Right?
Yeah.
Super cool. So I think he was
I listened to people in my Vauxhall Corsa, which is...
which is basically a
pretty
tank.
Pretty similar.
Yeah.
have you got any Pokemon-based emails? And by the way, if you...
I've got no more emails,
if
mate,
you don't
actually.
Want to, if you don't want to talk about Dungeons & Dragons and Pokemon, you can email me other things at andy@wrestletalk.com, and I'm sure I can change the subject.
Absolutely.
I'm sure
not.
D&D has been a large part of the conversation for the last few weeks.
It absolutely has, yes. Mm. And people
I've
love it.
I've played a very basic version when I was about sort of 12. Harry Potter is a thing you can email me about. Pete likes Harry Potter as well.
I've got the tattoo of a dark mark on my arm.
More than welcome
to. Yeah.
Send in a Harry Potter crap gimmick.
Yeah.
Read that out. But yeah, I'm sort of... I've just never really... I've always wanted to... remember mm-hmm. you tried to teach me Dungeons & Dragons briefly.
Yeah, I did.
But having... sort of having ADHD makes it quite a difficult game to play because you really have to concentrate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's not something I'm good at.
Yeah.
I bought myself a to-do list about 3 months ago because I was so bad at doing one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
As you've probably seen it in the office.
I have
a long list of things and I just try and do one at a time because otherwise I just sit there for an hour going, oh, I need to do these 8 things within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Let me
start on this one thing and then flip to the other thing, then flip
exactly.
to this other thing.
So Dungeons & Dragons wouldn't work with me. I'd happily watch it and I really like listening to you and Laurie and Simon and Luke sort of talk about it as Ollie and I kind of gawp at you all smiling at the pub. Well, you're talking about how I don't know. What are you? What's your main character?
My main character?
What's your...
I'm a halfling rogue.
You're halfling rogue. Is that the rogue thing on your
arm? That's the rogue symbol that I got tattooed recently, yes.
Mm. I was telling my lady partner you got a new tattoo because she's pressuring me into getting a new one.
Ooh.
My mum would hate it if I did.
Oh, totally. My parents hate tattoos so much, so I'm really looking forward to going visiting them at Christmas.
It took me 2 years to show my mum that I had a tattoo. I lived at home. I lived with them for 9 months whilst I had a tattoo on my forearm.
Yeah.
And they didn't know. Because every time I had a shower, I just walked out clothed with a towel on my arm.
Yeah.
Or with one arm in a jumper.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she didn't see my forearm for almost a year.
That's pretty incredible.
No, 2 years.
Honestly.
2 years.
That's quite the record, actually.
Yeah. I was quite proud
of
myself.
See, I did completely the opposite. As soon as I got my first one, which was the dark mark on my arm.
Mm.
Took a picture of it, put it on Facebook, and tagged my mum, and just being like, "Don't kill me."
This is boring, isn't it? In the books, the dark mark's red.
Is it?
Yeah, it's burned red into his arm.
Yeah, I guess that makes
sense.
But
it goes black
when he touches it, right?
Generally, normally, it's red.
It's red.
Yeah.
See, I've gone with kind of not necessarily the film's adaptation of it. Because my one's a bit bigger.
It's hard to go with the film book adaptation because you only see the film one.
Yeah. Shut up. I've gone with the film adaptation, but bigger. And obviously mine doesn't move, which, you know, it's hard to get a moving tattoo.
That would be fantastic if you did that. We'd get some AR on there. And speaking of which, it's probably time to...
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah.
Five minutes.
That is all we've got time for on this week's episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. We're going to be back on Monday. Me and Laurie are going to be back on Monday doing the TLC review, and Ollie and Luke are going to be doing live reactions to TLC tomorrow over on our YouTube channel.
Speaking of Luke, happy birthday, Luke.
Happy birthday, Luke.
30-something's birthday.
Oh, I don't know how old he is. I lose track of everyone's
between
age.
Between 30 and 35.
Yeah,
he looks great.
Yeah, he does. We love you, Luke. Happy birthday, etc. Anyway, thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you later. Love you all. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.